You're in Braves country.
Welcome in, Braves country. Mondays are usually a little more difficult to get this thing rolling because I got a lot of different cameras going. We got one for the PSF app. Welcome in. Of course, we're here on YouTube every show. Braves Country Radio, if you're looking for us on YouTube. And we are on Facebook today. So there you have that. Looking to see where we're at on this. But yeah, okay. We are on Facebook today. So, man, there's a lot to get into in a little time to do. So let's just go ahead and dive in. The first thing you want to peel back, I know everybody wants to, you know, just kind of get the reaction of you got Shohei Ohtani going in 10 years. $700 million, essentially $70 million a year. I know there's going to be some money deferred. We haven't gotten all the details on that, but that's what's been talked about. I still don't think that that's right. I feel like if you are going to sign a guy, all the money that he is going to get paid each year should have to go against your salary structure. If not, then what the hell's the point of it? If you're able to push it back, year after year after year, what the hell is the point of it? And if they're going to continue to do that, then I think all the other teams need to start making some headway and paying their guys and deferring a bunch of money. Now, I know not every player will want their money deferred, and a lot of people will have push, or some players will have pushback on that. And I know the players' union doesn't want it done. But the simple fact of the matter, it shouldn't be able to be done. So I'm not faulting the Dodgers, and I'm not faulting Shohei Ohtani. Shohei Ohtani wants to defer money, much like, we kind of saw some of this with Tom Brady, where he's willing to take a little less now so that he plays for a competitive team. And I get that part of it. So it's not an unselfish thing that he's doing. But it kills the spirit of the rules that are in place for competitive advantage. So that's the only issue that I have. If they want to pay him if they want to pay him $80 million a year, $90 million a year, I don't give a damn. But there ought to be some law in this town. You shouldn't be able to just make it up as you go. So that's my take on that. As far as making the Dodgers a World Series favorite, no. I know that they're pushed to number three right now. I know that's what we're seeing on a lot of outlets that right now on certain books. How about some of those books that folks tried to get in front of things when they saw the tweet by Morosi, John Morosi, who was he was given bad intel, and he admitted it. He was given bad intel. But John Morosi tweeted out that he was going to, that Shohei Ohtani was on his way to Toronto, and evidently that was never the case. But there were idiots that jumped on that, thinking that they were getting ahead of it, and jumped on Toronto World Series odds because of it, because they figured that they knew something that the books didn't know. And now a lot of them are regretting that. Now, that's not just saying that Toronto can't have a good season. Toronto can't go out there and get hot like Arizona did, like Texas did. But the reasoning behind people jumping out there and throwing money at the Blue Jays to win either the pennant or the World Series or what have you, was because they thought that they were getting Shohei Ohtani. So that is item number one. Item number two, Yamamoto is in California this week. Flew into California early this week. First team he's meeting with is the New York Yankees. Now, evidently, the Mets have already met with them, have already met with Yamamoto and his people. And with that being said, I still think the Mets are the favorite to land him. Because one of the things that Yamamoto, and you never heard this from Ohtani, but one of the things that you heard from Yamamoto and his camp before the posting ever began was that it was important to him to feel comfortable, and he may be looking for a team that already has a Japanese player. Ohtani did not care about that. But evidently, it's important to Yamamoto. And if that's the case, remember, Kodai Senga is already playing for the New York Mets. And if nothing else, he can talk to Senga and say, hey, what do you think? And if it's a good experience by Senga, that could go a long way, a long, long way. I know there are people that are putting whispers about the Dodgers being a place. I would be shocked. Just like I talked about when this whole thing began, I would be shocked if Shohei Ohtani ended up anywhere but the Dodgers. We've had that called for 2 years now, so we can finally get that off there. Same thing, I would be shocked if Yamamoto ends up anywhere but New York City. So it could be the Mets, it could be the Yankees. I believe there's more of a chance that he ends up with the Mets because he's going to sign a long deal. And so the Mets being a step behind this year is not going to be a deal breaker for him. And he's going to look at the fact that this is a team that's building for the future, an owner that's willing to spend, and I believe Yamamoto will be a New York Met. If not, the Yankees could sneak in there. There's a couple of other teams in there, but for my money, I'm not believing the Dodgers. They just gave a ton to Ohtani. Now, could there be a situation where Ohtani was pushing back some of the money so that they could sign Yamamoto? It is entirely possible. I just don't think that they're going to have that much money to play with because at some point, ownership wants returns. And have you heard this yet? This is incredible. They are already talking about ticket prices skyrocketing. Skyrocketing for Dodger games. People are going to pay through the nose for this Ohtani signing. And something that I hadn't even really thought of until after the signing, and it was brought up in casual conversation, the Dodgers open in Korea next year. And I know that's not Japan, but it ain't that far. And he is a big deal everywhere over in Asia. He's going to make his debut as a Los Angeles Dodger versus the San Diego Padres in late March over in Korea. So that's item number two, Yamamoto in California to talk to New York. And we keep moving on from that. We already brought up the John Morosi thing. I'm not going to sit here and bang Morosi for having a bad tweet, a bad guess, whatever. He said he got bad intel. What? It happens. These guys are tweeting 24/7, 365, and they're tweeting actually more on a hunch in the offseason than they are during the regular season. And they're just trying to get out in front of things. And he thought, you know, I'll give him credit. He didn't throw anyone under the bus. He just said, I got bad intel, and it is what it is. And he owned it. John Morosi has always done a great job. I enjoy his content, always have. He's on MLB Network quite a bit. I'm sure most of y'all are familiar with John Morosi. I'm not going to kill him for it. You get caught up in this stuff, and you're trying to become the first one. You know, he's trying to beat Ken Rosenthal to the punch. And so one thing you can say about Ohtani, he stayed true to his word. He didn't want a lot of fanfare, a lot of media hubbub. He's the one that released the statement on his Instagram, I believe, is where it first appeared. Saturday afternoon in the middle of the Christmas season. We had just gone live. We were doing the Army-Navy play-by-play Saturday afternoon when this happened. By the way, thank you for everyone who tuned in for that. We had incredible numbers on the Army-Navy broadcast this year. Incredible numbers. They have always been pretty good. They went above and beyond. And of course, a lot of it had to do with the fact the ending of that game. If you didn't catch that Army-Navy game, holy crap, what an ending. That's one of the best games I've ever done. And there were a lot of look, there are people in the chat complaining and, you know, moaning and whining, saying this is terrible football, blah, blah, blah. It's a throwback, and I will always enjoy the Army-Navy game. I enjoy bringing it to the folks, to the men and women overseas and here, who have already served, or maybe they're serving here in the States. But we do this game for the folks who can't get it anywhere else and are serving our great nation. So thank you once again to, I mean, it was incredible. They were, now I realize that our station has grown quite a bit since the World Series, but this is World Series numbers. World Series. And thank you to everybody who has smashed that subscribe button, smashed the like buttons. We are up over with, this was a goal. If y'all were following the play-by-play way back in the summer, our goal this year was to hopefully, and I thought it was pie in the sky, but we were still going for it. We wanted to get 20,000 subscribers on YouTube by the end of this year. We got it. We're just over, I think we're at 20.1. And so thank you to everybody who has subscribed. We hope next year to grow even more. We're going to kind of look at, you know, what's expected and what's realistic, and we'll come up with another target goal next year. But thank you to everybody who has hit that subscribe button. If you subscribe on YouTube, nothing happens. You don't get charged. I think sometimes there are people who are hesitant to subscribe. All a subscription means on YouTube, it's like liking a page on Facebook. It just means that you are following that page and the content. That's all it is. Nothing happens. Nothing bad happens. And you'll get more notifications, or you can set the notifications up where you don't get it, but you'll get more notifications when we go live, because we are going every Monday and Thursday in the off season at 4 Eastern. But there are times where we're going to pop on here because something huge has happened and I don't want to wait until the day of the show or the hour of the show. So hit that subscribe button and make sure your notifications are on. Braves Country Radio, if you're listening to us on radio or any of the other apps, please like and subscribe, Braves Country Radio. This is where we'll be going into our fourth season this spring, God willing, our fourth season this spring of bringing you play-by-play, pitch-by-pitch of your Atlanta Braves, Braves Country Baseball. And the plan is this year is to bring you every single game that's physically possible. There might be some that I can't get to because of work, but every game that's physically possible, Monday through Saturday, and most of the Sunday games, just can't 100% bring them all to you. There's just some scheduling issues that on Sundays make it difficult. But thank you once again. So back to everything's going on in the world of baseball. The Atlanta Braves finalized and revamped their coaching staff, if you missed that, with the exits of Ron Washington, EY, and Drew French. The new third base coach will be Matt Tui Asisopo. First base coach will be Tom Goodwin. And Eric Abreu will be the bullpen coach. So there you have that. And I'll read you real quick what the Braves released. Tui Asisopo is 37 years old, joins the staff third base coach after spending the previous three seasons managing Atlanta's AAA affiliate. I think a lot of folks are familiar with Tui Asisopo. His name has been in the mix for quite some time. A native of Bellevue, Washington, he has spent four total seasons managing in Atlanta's minor leagues and was given the Bobby Cox Award as the organization's top manager during his debut campaign in 2019 with Single-A Rome. So welcome aboard, Tui Asisopo. Goodwin, 55 years old. Tom Goodwin, named first base coach after spending the prior two seasons as a roving instructor in Atlanta's minor league affiliates. He has two previous stints as a major league first base coach, serving in the role for the Boston Red Sox from 2018 to 21 and with the Mets from 2012 to 2017. He won a World Series with Boston in 18. Of course, Tom Goodwin, I think a lot of us remember him from his playing days. It's been a while, but I definitely remember Goodwin. Abreu. What's the deal with Eric Abreu? Eric Abreu is just 40 years old, joins as the Atlanta Braves bullpen coach. From the Houston Astros, he came in his first appointment to a major league coaching staff. He spent the previous 9 seasons as a pitching coach in Houston's minor league system, including the previous 3 campaigns with the Astros AAA affiliate. He also had stops with the Astros DSL from 2014-2015, GCL in 2016, rookie level in 2017, single A Tri-City in 2018, and high A Quad City in 2019. So basically, those are just different levels of minor league system. So to recap, Washington was hired last month as the manager of the Los Angeles Angels, and Eric Young joined Washington's coaching staff, and French, the former Braves bullpen coach, who was hired as the Orioles pitching staff, as the Orioles pitching coach, excuse me. So there you have that. And we're going to feel it. Hopefully these guys can step in and hit the ground running. I believe that with all the other retention that we have in that dugout, these guys will blend in well. But at the same token, you've got to expect that there's going to be some growing pains early part of the season, just kind of getting to know the guys. Hey, what I'm excited to see, nothing against Ron Washington. I love the guy. I love the fact that he went out there and worked on infield defensive practice every single day with the guys. Hopefully someone else takes that torch. But you know what I'm going to be excited to see? Is a guy on our third base coach who won't just send a guy for the hell of it. Or how many times did we see this with Ron Washington where he's doing the windmill and then he tries to put on the brakes? And I can remember a couple of critical times last year, in fact, one during the postseason, where he tried to put on the brakes after he's windmilling. You can't do that. You have to have a more decisive mentality when you are standing there at third base, coach. You have to have that instinct. Can your guy go? In the situation in the game, should you send him, right? Because your guy might be able to make it home, but is it the smart thing to do at that time? If you're having a hard time scoring runs, and there's 2 outs, it's late in the game, and that run's either going to give you the lead or tie the ball game, and it's going to take a perfect throw, a perfect relay, and a perfect play by the catcher, and you've got a good base runner coming down the line, I see the advantages. And I have a problem if it doesn't work out. Never have a problem if it doesn't work out. I have a problem with if you make that decision, it was a bad decision because you just weren't mentally prepared. Because maybe down deep inside, you're like, man, I shouldn't have sent him. What was I thinking? I'm excited to see if we get a different type of energy there from Tuiasosopo. The one thing is for sure with Ron Washington, the players loved him. And so that's going to be anyway. I really hated. I just kind of assumed we were going to lose Washington at one point, but I wanted to see what EY could do at third base. But I understand why EY left. EY wants his opportunity, and he knows if he goes out there to the Angels and they actually do something, I doubt it's going to happen. They lose Ohtani, and they're already talking about, you know, do they keep Mike Trout or not? But let's say they do. If that ends up happening, all right, fair enough. But EY could springboard that into a job. To me, if I'm EY, I would have stayed in Atlanta, where you've got a much better opportunity to move up and get recognized. But I don't know EY's personal life, so maybe there's a reason why he wanted to go to California. Who knows? Anyways, looking at big picture, I just think that if you're the third base coach, which I think he would have moved over, if you were the third base coach of the Atlanta Braves, you have got a better shot and a managerial position in a quicker order than if you are on the staff of the Los Angeles Angels, who will probably, if they don't finish last in their division, they'll finish just a game in front of the A's. They are going to be awful this year. I listen to several different shows and podcasts and all that kind of stuff from all different teams in Major League Baseball. And I was listening to one from the Los Angeles Angels beat writer was in a discussion with a couple of other guys. And basically they were piecing together. I don't know who the hell is going to throw the ball for the Los Angeles Angels in a 4 or 5 man rotation to start the season. So Ron Washington definitely has his work cut out for him. The Braves trade Stassi to the White Sox. I'm sure most of y'all know this, for the most famous player to ever be traded in sports, player to be named later. They are expecting him to Stassi's going to go over to the White Sox. We're going to send a little bit of money, but it is going to save us money in the end. And so Stassi was a part of the deal. If you missed it over the last few days, David Fletcher came in from the Angels to the Braves. Fletcher is a bench piece. He is a guy that can play all over the infield. He can even play a little corner outfield if necessary. They're pretty much going to have him playing infield, but he has played left field in the past. So, great piece, makes our bench much stronger. And now we no longer, it was never a situation of that. If you remember Nicky Lopez, the narrative we were sold was that he was being moved because why? Because he was owed $4 million this coming year. Well, Fletcher is going to be owed $6.5 million this year, and I believe it's 13 over 2. So that's no longer the big concern. The concern was get more bang for your buck, because the thing about Nicky Lopez is, and we all love Nicky Lopez, I thought he did a great job, not going to put him down, but he's a much lighter hitter version, lighter hitting version than David Fletcher. David Fletcher is a guy, now look, with his limited at bats, we'll see what he comes up with, but he is a guy that is going to give you about a 275 batting average. He is a guy who's going to give you an OPS over 700. He is a guy who's going to bring a lot of different gloves to the ballpark so you can use them in a pinch. He's a good base runner. He's not Willie Mays Hayes or anything, but he's a damn good base runner. And he's a guy that you can put in different situations, because think about this, you get later in the game and you want a guy who can come in and pinch run, but also what if the game goes extra innings, he still has an okay bat. And I think you're going to see that more times than not, because think about some of the slow oafs we have in that infield. Love him to death, but Matt Olson's not winning any races unless it's maybe a potato sack race. RC is in that same camp. He's about the slowest shortstop I've ever seen. And Riley, when he gets rolling, Riley's got some strides and Riley gets going, but he really doesn't have great speed. And of course, both of our catchers, it's damn near watching a couple statues out there on the base pass. So late in the game, you'll be able to do that. And we really had no need for a Max Stassi. Hopefully, we don't come back to regret that. Hopefully, everyone stays healthy. But when you got Travis d'Arnaud and you've got Sean Murphy rocking, there's not a real reason to go out and have Stassi on the team as well. So we have that. Ronald Acuna Jr. is tearing up the winter league. I think I saw a thing the other day where he had hit at that point, he was going into the weekend, he had hit 7 home runs in 15 games. Of course, he's not going against the pitching he normally goes up against, but you still love to see it. Still big names that are out there that I think the Braves are going to be keeping an eye on, trying to kick the tires. Glasnow, Burns. Dylan Cease, it is a little interesting that we lose, that we trade, make another trade with the White Sox, and yet none of this has involved Dylan Cease. So it really makes me think that the White Sox are just asking too much for Cease, and Anthopoulos is just not willing to budge on that. Jordan Montgomery is still out there. Blake Snell is still out there. I think it's much more likely we would get Jordan Montgomery than Blake Snell. Blake Snell is just going to ask way too much money. Way too much money. And the other names that have been thrown out there. Now if you saw this, Will Smith. You see this? Will Smith signed a 1-year, $5 million deal. Our old buddy Will Smith, the relief pitcher, he goes back home. He started his career with the Kansas City Royals, and he's probably going to be their closer coming into 2023. And I think 2024. And I think one of the things that he loves about this, and it's one of the reasons why they're able to talk some pretty good free agents to come into Kansas City. They are very aggressive. When they fall out of the race, Kansas City is usually one of the first teams to sell. So Will Smith is being brought in for the $5 million deal, but Kansas City knows there's a very good chance they are not going to actually spend $5 million on Will Smith because they will probably trade him by the deadline. This is assuming Kansas City is not in the mix. Kansas City goes on a run. $5 million is a very small price to pay for a top-end closer. But hey, if you just want to sprinkle a little money out there, remember Will Smith won three consecutive World Series. You might want to throw a little bit of whatever it is right now on the Royals to win the World Series. Or wherever the hell he gets traded to, keep an eye on that. He's been a good luck charm for everybody. I found it interesting. They said Seth Lugo, Giolito, and Marcus Stroman, all three of them are targets for the Royals. I think it's more likely that the Royals go in on a Giolito, who appears to be wanting to sign a 1-year improvement deal. Stroman's going to be looking for a 3-year deal. I don't know if he'll get it, but that's what he's looking for. He'll be 33 next year, but Stroman is going to be looking for a longer deal. Lugo, I think you could get for a 2-3 year deal. That's why I'm kind of hedging my bet that Lugo goes to try to play for more of a contender. Giolito, a 1-year improve it deal, and he knows he could get traded at the deadline to a contender. That could be a deal where if he gets paid a decent amount, Giolito could be a Kansas City Royal. We'll keep an eye on that. You still got Flaherty and Waka out there. Those are the guys that are right there on the cusp that you would not consider elite pitchers, but they could have huge upside if you got the right deal with them. We've talked about this before, but I would not be opposed to the Braves signing Lugo to a 2-3 year deal. I like the same kind of type of thing with Waka, more of a 2-year deal with Waka. I kind of like an opportunity for an opt-out with Waka, but Waka, he's fought some injuries, but Waka's been pretty good the last few years as a starter. Stroman has always been a cancer in the clubhouse, and that would be my biggest concern. His stuff is there, but is his stuff there? He has turned himself into a villain a lot of times with his own teammates. Giolito, I think you could get him on a 1-year prove-it deal. Flaherty, I just feel like Flaherty has lost the gas. I don't think it's there anymore. We're going to keep this one kind of short. One of the things I did want to talk about, Cleveland signed Austin Hedges as their catcher. Then if you caught that, Detroit did sign Andrew Chafin, a left-handed reliever, pretty decent left-handed reliever. They signed him over the weekend. Not a big deal. Now, the Braves went out and also got, I think this will go under the radar, Lourdes Garcia. And a lot of folks will remember him from a few years back where he had some pretty decent years. He is 33 years old, a .253 career hitter, but it's a minor league deal, so there's very little risk here. He did not play at all last year in organized Major League Baseball or in the minor leagues. He was on the roster in spring training, did not make the spring training cut for the White Sox last year, and ended up not playing at all. So I don't have a lot of hope for him, but in his prime, Lourdes Garcia was a very good extra piece. There's a very good chance that he stays himself in the minor leagues the entire season. We may never even hear him or see him, but if he can get it back together, he could be an important piece that plays some key innings at some point in this year. So I did find that pretty interesting. On the non-baseball front, real quick, you see this thing with the college football? They are saying that. And this is big news, and this comes from War Chant. They're saying that there is a meeting with the Board of Regents for Florida State University next month, and they're expecting that they are going to announce that they're leaving the ACC. So we'll keep an eye on that. Of course, the Falcons lose a tough one again, and Kirk Herbstreit was doing damage control. I don't know if y'all saw this weekend, but it was hilarious. He tried to put some dog video out because he's trying to get everyone back on their good side, and everyone was just in his mentions. Like, yeah, I mean, that's a cute dog and everything, but you screwed the Seminoles. Like, that's he's tearing up. I did see a bunch of people say that he's blocking him on Twitter and everything. So if you want to have fun and you're not a Florida State fan, but you just want to have fun anyways, make Herbstreit believe you are a Florida State fan, and you'll probably get blocked. Juan Soto to the Yankees got kind of overshadowed by this. Jaime Candelario goes to the Reds. I think that's a bigger deal than what a lot of folks are realizing. We did talk about Erod to Arizona last week, and they did finally announce it today, even though everybody knew about it. The Dodgers announced that Joe Kelly is coming back for a one-year deal. And, of course, he's going to give his number to Shohei Ohtani. Vaughn Grissom is getting set for the Puerto Rican League to get outfield reps, so we'll be keeping an eye on that. And there's one other pitcher that no one's been talking about that has been posted. He's a lefty coming from the Japanese League. I might be butchering his name, but I'm going to give it a shot. Shota Imanaga, 30 years old, a 2.8 ERA, and 10.6 Ks per nine. Now, obviously, he comes to the major leagues. He's going to be dealing with better hitters. But most of the pitchers coming over have tracked pretty well. Usually, their strikeout rate isn't as high, but I'm interested to see where Shota Imanaga comes from, because he could be a bullpen piece. And so there you have that. Let me see if there's anything else that we have not gotten into. We talked about the Fletcher stuff, and I did want to double check something real quick, because we've been on here for a little bit, and that's usually when stuff breaks. The Reds have finally introduced Jaime Candelario, so they were. When did they release that? 8 minutes ago, even though we already knew this already. And if you're just joining us, the Braves did add three coaches. We've got our first base, our third base, and our bullpen coach, so we're ready to roll on that. This is what I believe that is going to happen, because I've had a lot of people at me wanting to know, when are the Braves going to make a move? I think this week is going to get extremely busy across the board. Doesn't necessarily mean that the Braves are going to do anything, but you're going to start seeing the pieces fall together, because now that the biggest fish out there has been caught by the Dodgers, Shohei Ohtani signing that 10-year, $700 million deal is a situation where it doesn't affect us per se, but it really does. It affects everybody in baseball, because Now that he is signed, you're going to start seeing the other one sign. You're also going to see a sense of urgency. You're not going to continue to see this ridiculousness of just dragging out. And usually we see a huge uptick. I've noticed this the past several years. We see a huge uptick this week and next week. If it doesn't get done, it's going to be really quiet. Normally, really quiet the week of Christmas. So you've got essentially, what, 10 to 11 days, real days, and realistically, I'm cutting it off at the 21st, because once you hit that Friday, man, people are getting out of town, they're taking off. If you want to be real about it, by that Thursday on the 21st when we do our show, we should see a lot of things unfold, and we should see a lot of things get to a boiling point for a lot of teams, and some of the bigger names I expect to come up. I expect Blake Snell to come off the board. I expect Jordan Montgomery to come off the board. Those two fish are huge. Everyone's a fixator on Shohei, and I get why and I understand why, but those moves are going to be huge. Two left-handers that can help you win. One of them just won a World Series. The other one, Snell, won the Cy Young. And remember, he got to the World Series not too long ago. So, let me see here. See if we get caught up here with some of these questions. Fletcher is going to mean absolutely nothing with Grissom. Grissom is expected to be in left field platooning with Jared Kelenic, who we got from Seattle. Fletcher is literally a bench piece. Not saying that he won't start from time to time, but David Fletcher is being brought in, kind of a high-paid bench piece, but he's being brought in to essentially spell some innings when guys need days off, a day game after a night game, all that kind of stuff. And don't expect Fletcher, unless there's an injury, to get a whole lot of at-bats. But he's a veteran. He's okay with that. As long as that cash checks, he'll be all right. And I expect Vaughn Grissom to get a true platoon system with Kelenic. I think he'll get some starts against right-handers. It's not going to all just be against left-handed bats. But Kelenic will get his fair starts, and so will Grissom. Let me see here if we got anything else. Looks like we've hit just about everything else. And good seeing everybody in the chat. I know these are tough to do, but we try to be here Monday, Thursday, 4 p.m. Eastern. And on the PSF app, we're here on Mondays. We're getting ready for a busy, busy season. We're going to go ahead and get out of your hair. Y'all have a great day, Braves country. And hopefully, by the time we talk on Thursday, We'll get some more moving and shaking. If something happens, we'll jump on that afternoon, Tuesday or Wednesday. But Mondays and Thursdays, 4 p.m. is what we have scheduled. But if something happens big, we're going to come flying in here. Y'all have a great day.